Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
In the 1960s, there was an archaeologist who was excavating at a site along the Dead Sea, and they found a seed, which they surmised came from a fruit, and they found out this was from a date, D-A-T-E, and carbon dating shows that it was about 2,000 years old. Now, they kept it in cold storage for a few decades, and in 2005, they did something that was deemed in their industry as biologically impossible. That is, to plant the seed hoping that it will sprout and grow. Now, this story was captured in the New York Times, the National Geographic, and other publications, and the seed was sprouted into a young plant, which was then planted. And today, this date palm, D-A-T-E, is sited in a research park in Israel, and guess what's the name of the plant? Methuselah, after the oldest person in the Bible. Now, following this successful project, six other ancient seeds were also sprouted. When the ancient seed of God's Word is planted into the human soul, into the human heart, something is supposed to happen. Something is supposed to grow. Because we believe that the Word of God is not just timeless across different generations, it is timely for such a world and such an era as ours when there is so much global uncertainty, so much personal anxiety. And when we come to Matthew chapter 13 now, it is the story or parable of a farmer scattering seeds with the hope and the expectation something will grow. Now, before we dive into the text, Pastor Ben, in the overview of the Gospel of Matthew, has already shown us the three divisions or the three pieces, major pieces in the book. And embedded in those 28 chapters are actually three major teaching blocks of Jesus, what we call discourses. Now, we are in discourse three of five of Jesus' teachings, of which basically are eight parables in discourse number three. And parables are essentially literary devices that rabbis would use in those days, using everyday illustrations, common language, to drive home a point for their students. So here we are as we pick up the parable now. And the parable of the sower or the farmer is what, in my own words, it is the mother of all parables. Because if you look at the parallel passage in Luke, Jesus tells his disciples that if you do not understand this parable of the sower, how else will you understand all the other parables, which consist of a total of eight? So here we have in verse 4, Matthew 13, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Verse 9 now, he who has ears, let him hear. Here's the conviction that all of us need to start with as we enter the parable. The mother of all the parables. Spiritual fruitfulness is the normal Christian life. Tenfold, 30-fold, 100-fold. In other words, when the seed of God's word is planted in us, in our soul, something is supposed to happen, something is supposed to grow, so that the fruit of Jesus' character begins to show more and more. There's a certain gentleness, a certain patience, where all the madness is still happening, what some term the non-anxious presence. And as we journey with God, God will lead us to more and more people He wants us to influence, He wants us to impact for Jesus with His gospel. Now, Quick show of hands. If you regard Covenant EFC as your spiritual home where you serve and grow and live together as a spiritual family, can you wave at me? Wave at me, okay? If Covenant is your spiritual family, Okay, good. Now, as you would know, that covenant, we are led of the Lord to be an intentional disciple-making church, IDMC. Now, when it comes to therefore following Jesus in a way that spiritual fruitfulness is what God has designed and destined for every single disciple of Jesus here in covenant, it doesn't matter whether you're a pastor, a missionary, whether you're a cell leader or elder, member or non-member, spiritual fruitfulness is God's destiny and design. Because if not, John the Baptist, when he entered the scene in Matthew chapter 3, he will not be telling all the crowd that you produce fruit in keeping with your repentance. Now, if that's God's intent, if we are an intentional disciple-making church, IDMC, what does that imply daily? Now, here's the acronym I want to show. Okay, IDMC, to kind of give us some idea. IDMC would mean I daily mature in Christ and I daily multiply for Christ. I daily mature in Christ, I daily multiply for Christ. Now, can you turn to the one next to you, Ken? Turn to the one next to you. Doesn't matter whether you know the person or not, okay? Can you say this with conviction, okay? I daily mature in Christ. Over to you. I daily mature in Christ. All right? I daily multiply for Christ. Over to you. Okay, one more time. I daily mature in Christ. I daily multiply for Christ. Okay? Now, how many of us, by show of hands, you really want to be fruitful the way God intends? Okay? Quick show of hands. Now, can you high-five someone and say, "Jiao you together"? Can? Okay? Now, here's the good news. Here's the good news. According to farmers, or again, Bible experts who study farming in those days, the normal yield of crops when planted is about 5 to 10-fold. Verse 8 says 30, 60, 100-fold. In other words, under the hand of God, you can be more spiritually fruitful than you thought possible. Can we say amen? Now, if that's God's intent, His design, and His destiny in our journey towards spiritual fruitfulness, I want to highlight two key aspects in light of time, two key aspects we need to watch out for so that it becomes real for us, the way God designed and intended. The first, we must watch out for how we respond to God's word and God's voice. Watch for how each of us, you and I, respond to God's word and God's voice. Now, Pastor Kai already showed this briefly last Sunday, that before Matthew chapter 13 happened, there was actually a block of stories in Matthew chapter 11 and 12 that highlights basically about opposition to Jesus' kingdom. Can I have the slides on the overhead as well? Thank you. Okay, highlighting the opposition to Jesus' kingdom and His message. So if you see now Matthew chapter 12, that the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they were nitpicking because Jesus and the disciples went grain picking. And they said, "How can you do this? It's a Sabbath, you're working," so on and so forth, right? And then later on, when Jesus drove out a demon such that the person who was bound by the demon couldn't see, couldn't speak, he was set free, he was let loose, and he could see and he could speak, the Pharisees, the religious leaders said, "Very clever, man. Very powerful, man. He just called upon their atau only, wa, or the head demon or the devil. Come and drive out all the minions only, ma. Very good, man." You follow the story now when Jesus already showed signs and wonders to demonstrate the kingdom of God is here, His authority over disease, over darkness, over demons, over death. And here were the Pharisees again asking, "Show us another sign and prove it." By the time the eight parables landed or finished, after that, in chapter 13, the final part now, Jesus returns to His own hometown in Capernaum, and here was how His neighbors in the village responded to Jesus. "Isn't this the carpenter's son? We saw him growing up as a boy, running around in shorts, playing with my children some more, and then we saw him filing wood, sawing, and then doing all those kind of carpentry. Very special, man." And in fact, the Bible says that they took offense, meaning literally in the Greek, they were scandalized and stumbled. Can you see why now, therefore, as we follow how after Jesus narrates the parable, privately with his disciples, now when the disciples say, can you tell us more about the parable? Jesus begins to explain it in light of Old Testament prophecy. Now you come with me to chapter 13, verse 14 now, verse 14, that indeed, in their case, verse 14, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear but never understand, you will indeed see but never perceive, for this people's hearts have grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, which is the Old Testament equivalent for repentance in the New, and I would heal them. So here was Jesus telling his disciples, the condition of the hearts of people opposing me, it is hardened. It is like the ground, like the road, where when the seed is planted, it is impervious, impenetrable. And like the time in the book of Isaiah, where Isaiah saw the glory of God, and God sent him into a ministry of failure, at least in the eyes of the world, if they measure by KPIs. Because people will not respond. The problem was not that Isaiah had no eloquence, he didn't join the Toastmasters Club. The heart of the problem was the problem of the heart. What is the problem of the heart? In this case, for the Jewish people, repeated disobedience. Prophet after prophet will come in the Old Testament to ask of Israel to turn back to God. And Israel will say to every single one of them, go and fly kite. Until a point when God says, enough is enough, send them to exile under judgment. In other words, repeated disobedience calcified their hearts. Whereas when Jesus invites us to hear and respond to God's word, go back to verse 9 now. Verse 9 says that he who has ears, let him hear. Better translated in the literal, he who has ears, let him keep hearing. In the Hebrew world, the idea of hearing is not simply you receive an audio signal and then you try to decode in your brain or something that is coherent or something you can understand. The idea of hearing for the Hebrews is listening with the intent to act upon what they hear. Meaning, they listen for the purpose of obeying. So let me complete the principle now, how we respond to God, His word and His voice. Repeated disobedience calcifies the heart. Repeated obedience tenderizes it. Repeated disobedience hardens the heart, our hearts. But repeated obedience tenderizes it, softens it. Watch how we respond to God's word and voice, especially during this prayer season. There was a youth director of a church in the US who shared the story of how he had a prodigy in his Sunday school class. And this boy named Todd could memorize Bible verses, in fact, 600 of them under his belt. You just quote the reference, he can quote it to you word perfect. One day, it was reported to him that the money in the offering bag for Sunday school got stolen. So he investigated, and lo and behold, guess who he found as the culprit? The boy Todd. So he confronted Todd and even cited a Bible verse to prove his point, to which Todd told the youth director, you quoted the verse wrongly. Finally, he said to the boy, do you see the connection between the verse I quoted and your stealing? And the boy says, no. Well, maybe. So the director asked him, what connection do you see? I got caught. Final show of hands, okay? If you are more than 5 years as a Christian, can I see your hands? More than 5 years as a Christian, okay? Can you keep them up for a moment? Keep them up for a moment, okay? Now, more than 10 years, okay? Most of them are still up, including those in the gallery. More than 20, okay? Quite a few still up. More than 30. Okay, I should not ask further because it will reveal our age. After a while, especially after decades walking with God, We have memorized don't know how many Bible verses, read the Bible cover to cover, don't know how many times, different versions some more. And after a while, it can be same old, same old. When we hear sermons or when we hear Bible teaching or when we hear in a quiet time, maybe we have this notion or we don't say it because we are good Christians, ma. But here's how we feel or think. Oh, we know already. I know already. How do I know? Because I'm like that. But without realizing that we can all know it here, but something here can still be left untouched. The question, therefore, is especially in this 40-day prayer season, how do we respond to God's word and voice speaking? In Singapore, as we seek together with our churches in Singapore to turn Singapore Godward so that we continue to reach more people for Christ, one of the key groups of people we are very concerned about is a group that says that they have no religions, what we call the nuns, N-O-N-E. But in the US now, there is a rise not just of the nuns, there is a rise of the duns, D-O-N-E-S. The nuns are the unchurched, the duns are the de-churched. And among the different reasons that they have found, here's one of the reasons they discovered. Among the reasons, after sitting through countless sermons and Bible studies, they feel they've heard it all. I know already. My question, therefore, to all of us, because I believe God is speaking. Now, when our senior pastors led us at the start of this year with the whole spiritual burden to go all in for Jesus and His kingdom, that's why the Gospel of Matthew, when the Love Singapore network of churches, hundreds of churches represented, gathered together, and parachurch organizations, when Pastor Jeff Chong, the chairman of the network, discerned together the Love Singapore committee, guess what was the theme for that prayer summit? And guess what's the theme for our 40-day prayer season this year? All in. We never park up with Pastor Jeff. We never discuss under the table, behind the scenes, and then decide together. We don't know who copy who. Okay, but jokes aside. We sense there is a word for the Singapore church this season. The question is, how are we listening? How are we responding to it? Now, I give us practical steps, Ken, that may be helpful to you. If it's helpful to you, great. Now, what if, In listening to God's word day by day, using the video devotional, what if we try a different location, meaning not at home, so that we are less distracted by housework, la, floor knocking, want to wipe, la, and then different things happening? And what if we turn our phone to flight mode so that we are less distracted by messages? According to Bishop Rennis of the Anglican Church, flight mode brings us closer to God. Okay? What if we try a different location? Number two, what if we try fasting? Because in fasting, we keep our base appetites in check and at bay so that our spiritual senses can be a bit more heightened. Now, some of us, you may want to fast from food. For example, one meal a day so that you can use that time for prayer, that 1 hour. Now, quick aside, I was fasting during our National Jubilee, 50th year, which was 10 years ago, and I went on a 50-day fast, okay? I just fasted from meat, for example, fried chicken wing and all that, okay? And I thought to myself, vegans, vegetarians, they don't eat meat and they are fine. In fact, some of them are quite happy. How bad can it get, right? After day 25 or so, there's only that much tau kwa I can eat. fried beancurd. Now, some of us, you might want to try fasting, not just from food, but perhaps social media, drama, online shopping, tomorrow 7/7 sale. So that all these base appetites are kept and our spiritual senses are heightened. For some of us, what if you try praying with others? Where together as burning coals, when you come together, you add to the heat of one another and you create an even bigger fire as you come in prayer. Now, Pastor Sharon already shared with you that at the end of the season, 8th of August, our three centers would be going on our MRT prayer lines because we're going through different prayer lines to blanket the whole nation in prayer. But before that happens, meantime, Every Wednesday at 9 p.m. on Zoom, our intercessors will lead us in prayer. On Zoom, 9 p.m. You can take a picture. And your CGLs will have the information as well. And we're inviting you to join in so that in so doing, not only are we praying and asking God to answer our prayer for Singapore, something happens in us as we gather together, embers to embers. Now, let me also just share a word for those of us who are visitors here in Covenant, meaning you have been joining us for a few weeks, a few months, and you're wondering to yourself, hey, is Covenant EFC the place where God is leading me as my spiritual home? Now, as we hear your journey, and thank you for sharing your journey with us, we hear two very common reasons why you're here in Covenant visiting, and what keeps you here? Number one, oh, Covenant got very good sermons, except today. Number two, we feel comfortable here. By that, we take it that you feel at home, because this is a spiritual family, and family is where we feel at home, which is wonderful. But here's what I also discover. When we get too comfortable, especially for too long, we end up settling into a lull, and we start to stagnate. And then we wonder to ourselves, how come I haven't grown? How come I'm not growing? Perhaps it is time for you to take the next step. The next step could be getting baptized so that you make a public profession of your faith in front of friends and family. For others, joining a spiritual community because you've been out of a community for a long time. For others, perhaps it's time to start serving. And we don't have to wonder, is it God's will for me to be baptized? Is it God's will for me to serve or to even join a spiritual community? Because the scriptures has already spoken. Watch how we respond to God's word and voice, because repeated disobedience hardens the heart. Repeated obedience softens it. Here's the second aspect of our spiritual journey we need to watch for. Watch for how we respond to life's trials and temptations. Watch for how we respond to life's trials and temptations. And in this familiar parable, Jesus goes on to describe not just the first ground that's on the road, but also the rocky places and the thorns. In the rocky places, the seed will sprout and spring up. In fact, almost immediately. And with joy, that's what Jesus describes. Hallelujah, praise God. For a while. Literally for a season. But once the sun comes up, which Singaporeans are feeling it, once the sun comes up, because the soil is shallow, those with green fingers, you would know, the roots have no depth of soil to keep going downwards to absorb moisture. After a while, it will dry out, it will wither when the heat is constant. And you look at Simon Peter, one of the disciples, that's exactly what happened. In his impulsive nature, he tells Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He says that everybody will disown you, but I won't disown you. But on that night when Jesus was going to be betrayed and went to the cross, when he was under pressure, when he was asked, are you one of the disciples? Not once, but three times, he says, I do not know him. I do not know him. I do not know him. And he caved. Third kind of soil now are those among thorns, where Jesus says they get choked up, literally suffocated and drowned. Why? Because of life's pressures and life's pleasures. That's the parallel passage in the book of Luke as well, where because of the deceitfulness of riches and wealth, that this satisfies, this is your purpose. And we see that exactly in the life of Judas, where for 30 coins, silver coins, worth about hundreds, if not thousands, Sing dollars today, he sold his soul and he was literally choked and suffocated to death when he hung himself. Life's pleasures and pressures have a way of surfacing what's already inside. And if we take that unhurried space before God, it might surprise us that while we want to build our foundations in the Holy Scriptures, what is in our foundations may not just be the Holy Scriptures, but our inner scripts. Not just the Holy Scriptures, but the inner scripts. Inner scripts such as, if I don't beat my competition, I will lose my job. If I don't go to this social media page or this drama or this bottle of alcohol or computer game and whatever that your equipment may be, I would continue to feel the pain and emptiness. If I share my true darkness in my soul, I will be rejected. So on and so forth. And what God wants to do is to come as we wait before the Lord, hear His voice, for the inner scripts to surface. Because His intent is not to condemn. His intent is to convict, so that as we come close, we come clean, so that as we emerge out of this prayer season, we leave consecrated, we leave commissioned to go all in for Jesus and His kingdom. Pastor John Mark Comer from Oregon shared in his book that recently I was venting to my wife about how discouraged I was over my lifelong struggle with anxiety. I hate how stressed I get at times and how my mind will get stuck in the all-too-familiar loop of negative rumination, all those negative thoughts running all over the place. Do you think I will ever mature beyond this? I asked her. Wife said, of course, I'm positive. I think you'll become deeply happy and calm. Really? How much longer? I wondered out loud. And the wife's reply, I guess in your 60s. Or she said, deadpan, no emotions. John Mark Comer concluded she wasn't trying to be funny. That was her best estimate. And she's likely right. He continues to write, don't get me wrong, there's joy to be had along the way. You could argue that joy is the defining feature of a life organized around God, but it's rarely the explosive happiness of an emotional high, dramatic yet fickle and fleeting. It's more like a quiet undercurrent that slowly accumulates at the base of your soul, increasingly welling up like a soft melody that over the years becomes the soundtrack of your life. In other words, here was John Mark Comer discovering a long obedience in the same direction, and as he does that, something happens in his soul. Quietly but surely. In the words of Pastor Kai, our Woodland Center overseer, men are like saving bonds. We mature very, very, very slowly. And therefore, in Eugene Peterson's words, the long obedience in the same direction requires that we hold on to the Word of God for our dear life. So that as we keep doing so, as the inner scripts surface, God can replace them with what's true. In a domestic flight from Portland to Boston, the pilot of this aircraft, Henry Dempsey, saw on the warning, one of the warning panels, that there was something wrong with the rear door. He handed controls over to the co-pilot, went to the rear door of the aircraft to check, and as he approached the rear door, the back door unlatched open by itself. He got instantly sucked out of the jet. The co-pilot saw that in the instrument panel that the rear door was open, radioed for emergency landing at the nearest airport and requested for a search and rescue team to survey the area. And when the aircraft landed on the runway of the emergency airport, when search and rescue team came to the aircraft, they found that the pilot was still at the back of the aircraft, Henry Dempsey. He was hanging on to the external ladder at the rear exit, even though the door was open. And when they tried to remove him from the ladder, they discovered they had to pry his fingers open for a few minutes because he was holding on to the ladder for his dear life when the aircraft was going at 350 km per hour at 4,000 feet. God invites us that through our trials and temptations, that if we desire for the inner script to surface and God to replace that, keep holding on to the scriptures for our dear life, because our fruitfulness, our destiny depends on it, and the destiny of those we will reach depends on it. And that's how the parallel passage in Luke chapter 8, verse 15 describes, that those who bear fruits are those not just with an honest and good heart and have patience, they hold it fast. Now, let me pause here for a moment. Some of us are wondering, jialat, or uh-oh, I'm not like the fourth kind of ground. In fact, I may be the first, the second, or the third. Self-awareness is half the battle won. Here's the other half. It's not apparent in the parable, but you see this in the life of the disciples. Whatever the condition of the soil is, the soil condition can be transformed. Can we say amen? You look at the Apostle Peter after he came to the end of himself, recognized what a wreck he was. When Jesus came to restore him, and on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon him, when he looked at the Jews again in the eye, it wasn't, "I do not know him, I do not know him, I do not know him." He stared at them in the face and said, "You sent Jesus to the cross. Preach the gospel of the kingdom." 3,000 were converted, finished his life in the way that he told his persecutors that, "I do not deserve to die the way my Lord did. Crucify me upside down." The condition of the heart can be transformed. And what God waits and invites us to quietly come to that space where we allow him to. In other words, this prayer season, I believe, is not simply our gift to God, meaning I pray more, I fast more. That's not it. It is God's gift to us. So that as we come before God in that unhurried space, God can surface what's really in there, by which we're able to come close and come clean. Here's what I discover about perseverance, about finishing well. The starting point of finishing well is not resilience. It is repentance. Verse 15, so that they may turn and be healed. The starting point of perseverance is not resilience, where we grit our teeth and say, "Chiong ah, I don't burn out, I just burn on." Because every one of us will trip and fall somewhere along the way. But the starting point of perseverance is repentance, where over and over and over again, we come before the Lord to say, "God, I'm sorry, this is the condition of my heart. God, I'm sorry, please help me. I'm sorry, please help me start again." There was a monastery situated on the top of a hill in Europe, and every week or so, one of the monks would come down and buy supplies for the monastery. And as the villagers were observing him coming down, one day they asked him, "What do all you holy monks do up there?" To which the monk replied, "Up on the hill, we fall down, we get up again. We fall down, we get up again. We fall down, we get up again." This prayer season is a gift, not to God, but from God, by which again and again, we can come before Him and let Him examine what's really in there. Now, here's the practical step or practical suggestion now. You notice in our video devotionals, besides the video of a short message or devotion that one of our city pastors would give, that before we pray for the city or for the church later on, in the middle, there are actually questions for reflection. Can I invite us pause with enough time so that the reflection can take place? In other words, don't do a quick watch, quick listen, and a quick read. In the words of Reverend Edmund Chan, our leadership mentor, hurry is the enemy of depth, D-E-P-T-H. But we pause enough so that we are able to mull and let things surface. And as they do, we journal, we pray, we respond to God, because it is God's gift of inviting us into deeper repentance. Watch for how we respond in life's trials and temptations, because the starting point of perseverance is not resilience, but repentance. I close with this final story now of one of us in Covenant, and I share this with the families. Go ahead for the glory of God. The late Carolyn Q grew up with us in our church family through our Sunbeam or our children's ministry, through our youth ministry. And when she was a young adult, she served as a zone mentor with Pastor Sharon in her district. And at 18 months old, she was diagnosed with leukemia, went through chemotherapy as a toddler, and lost her hair. The chemo drugs were also too strong and affected her heart. And her heart condition later worsened during her pregnancy. She was hospitalized in ICU for more than 3 months after giving birth to her daughter, Hannah, and the birth was premature. In total, she had more than 20 surgeries, including 8 open heart surgeries. 8. If we survive one, it's a feat. And during that period, and carried around an artificial heart pump when she was discharged. The last 4 years of her life were challenging, with many hospital admissions and times when the doctors thought she would not make it. Yet every time her photo is taken, such as this one, she was smiling constantly. even though she may be in pain. One of the key passages that kept her going till the end was 2 Timothy chapter 4 that says by the Apostle Paul, I am already poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all, including us, who have loved his appearing. And every now and then, she would text Pastor Sharon to share how God spoke and encourage her so that she could press on. Even though she was in such discomfort that anybody in her circumstance giving up would not be faulted. 10 days before she was promoted to glory, she was warded in hospital, and she got her family to help her make cards for other patients, and it happened to be Hannah's birthday as well. She wanted them to know Jesus. Even her daughter, 4-year-old Hannah, got into action, pasting the animal stickers on the cards. Her husband, Edward, distributed them to her fellow patients in the hospital. Her parents, John and Judy, cooked bihun for the patients to enjoy. At her memorial service last month, her friends who did not know Jesus came to hear about her journey and her faith in Jesus. We are so proud of Carol. She has finished exceedingly, exceptionally well. She was fruitful all the way to the end, even at her memorial service after that. Our circumstances may not be the same. We have a different journey, but God has destined and designed every single one of us for spiritual fruitfulness. Come what may, trials and temptations through the course of life, so that in so doing, we demonstrate a character more and more like Jesus. We see more and more lives through us by the grace of God coming to know this God whom we love and who's coming again. I'm going to invite us to bow our heads for a few moments in prayer, as we take some time now in this unhurried space to respond to God. Those of us who are joining online, wherever you are, please join us as well. And as we do so, in a few moments' time, we're going to sing this song as a prayer to say, Lord, during this prayer season, speak, O Lord. I don't want it to be same old. I don't want to go through the motions. I want something to happen in my heart. Now, before we do that together, in this unhurried space now, as we pause to respond on our own, what is that one word, one phrase, or one sentence God is putting upon your heart right now to say, son, daughter, pay attention to it. Act on it. I give us a few moments to listen, to discern, and then on your own now, to respond in prayer to God. Over to you. For those of us who are still praying on your own, you're very welcome to continue to do so. For the rest of us who are ready, Let's join this song now that Karen and the team will lead us as a prayer. Lord, this season, would you speak? For I desire to listen and be fruitful.
Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness, that the light of Christ might be seen today in our acts of love and our deeds of faith. Speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all your purposes for your glory.
Sing it again.
Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness, that the light of Christ might be seen today in our acts of love and our deeds of faith. Speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all your purposes for your glory.
This is our prayer, Lord. Teach us.
Teach us, Lord, full obedience, holy reverence, true humility. Test our thoughts and our attitudes in the radiance of your glory. Cause our
invite us to continue in this time of prayer to bow our heads before the Lord as we've sung this song. And let me give an invitation to two groups of us who are here joining us for this Sunday service. The first spiritual family, fellow brothers and sisters, children of our Heavenly Father. We have already entered into the prayer season. How will we listen to God's word and God's voice? How will we respond to it? And if you're saying in your heart, I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want the same old, or another prayer season. I want something to happen in here. Something to shift, something to be quickened, something to grow in there. I desire joy to return because I've lost it. And if that's you, I'm going to pray on our behalf. I'm going to invite you as a symbol of that desire just to place your hand upon your heart right now to say, God, in your grace, would you do something in here this season? Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for the prayer season, and I receive it as a gift so that as you surface what is really in there in my soul, my inner scripts may be exposed and rooted out in Jesus' name, and the seed of your word planted again. Lord, your law is perfect, reviving the soul. Your statutes are trustworthy, making wise the simple. Your precepts are right, giving joy to the heart. Your commands are radiant, giving light to the eyes. They are worthier than gold, sweeter than honey. And in keeping them, there is great reward. Let this, Lord, be the season I return to you and your word, and hold fast to it until my life bears fruit the way you designed and destined me.
Yes, God.
Father God, you see these hands upon our hearts right now, and you see the condition of every one of our hearts. Thank you that in your grace you desire us to draw near. And therefore, Lord, we ask, go beyond answering this prayer. Exceed it, O Lord, so that our hearts come fully alive and we become fully fruitful the way you intend for the glory of God. Thank you. We may put our hands down as we continue this time of prayer still with our heads bowed. I want to make an invitation to those of us who have joined us and you came in not as a Christian, or you may have joined us online for a while. And today you recognize, even before coming in, something about your own heart, its own darkness. The Bible says that the good we want to do, we don't do. That which we don't want to do, we keep doing. You might be fighting lust, fighting anger, fighting fear. Or for some of us, you have even given up trying. But today you hear the good news. Your heart, my heart can be changed. And today, you say to yourself, I need Jesus. I need Him to change what's on the inside. And I'm going to invite you to join me in this prayer to receive Jesus for the very first time. Here's how this prayer goes. After that, I'm going to invite you to raise up your hand to indicate, Pastor Edmund, that was my prayer. I received Jesus or believed in Him for the very first time. Now, here's how this prayer goes. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge today, right here, right now, that because of sin, my heart has turned away from you. Thank you that you can change my heart and you want to. Thank you for the cross where my sins are forgiven and I can have a brand new start, brand new heart. Come in now, O Lord, as Savior and Lord, to save and rule. Let your word grow me and shape me to become more like Jesus. And through my life now, plant the seed of your word in others as you turn their hearts to you too. So dear friend, if that's you, for the very first time you believe in Jesus and it's through that prayer, can I just invite you to put your hand up high, whether you're here seated or upstairs in the gallery. I just want to acknowledge you, pray with you before we join the last verse of the song and we're going to have Holy Communion. Anyone here in this second service? For those of us who are online, later a QR code will come up at the end and we invite of you to scan that QR code so that we can keep in touch with you after the service is over. Okay, anyone here before we proceed? Heavenly Father, we thank you that every time the scriptures are open, you invite us to relationship with you, that your word will go forth and not return to you empty. Because just as the rain comes down to shower the earth and to give fruit to the seed, Lord, so shall be the word you shall speak, O Lord. And therefore we ask, if there are friends, family here yet to know the tremendous joy of knowing Jesus, in your good time, let the seed planted grow until the day they call upon you. We give you thanks. We ask all this in Jesus' name and we say together, Amen. Amen. Let's stand together and join this final verse now. Speak, O Lord, and renew our minds.
Speak, O Lord, and renew our minds. Help us grasp your plans for us. Truths unchanged from the dawn of time that will echo down through eternity. And by grace we're
you had spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.